The Tom Mix Ralston Straight Shooters are on the air. And here comes Tom Mix, America's favorite cowboy.
Up, Tony. Up, boy.
When it's Ralston time at breakfast, then it surely is a treat. That Mix Folk favorite Ralston, made and ruled in Western Greek. Wrangler says it is
delicious.
And you'll find before you're through, with a lot of cream, boy, you're 18 at the top for breakfast, too. Ask your mother in the morning, serve you up a steaming plate. It's a grandma whole wheat cereal, and the cowboys think it's great. Once you try it, you'll stay by it. Comic says it's well to eat.
The Tom Mix Ralston Straight Shooters bring you another episode in The Mystery of the Raven. Cold and damp and gray comes the dawn, pausing in its westward passage at the window of Doc Green's, where witnesses a scene tense and taut as a coiled spring. Two doctors, old Doc Green and his young assistant, David Frisbee, are about to come to grips with death over the unconscious form of Willie Kohler, who lies white and still on the operating table. Over the mask that covers his mouth and nose, the old, wise eyes of Doc Green look now and again to the face of Dr. Frisbee, then back to Willie. The eyes of Dr. Frisbee return his gaze, leveled and cold and hard. He raises his eyebrow inquiringly. Doc Green looks at Willie's face, feels his pulse, nods to Frisbee. Dr. Frisbee looks down at the shining scalpel in his gloved hand, and as he prepares to make the first incision, he's thinking,
if he dies, there isn't one man who won't say I let him die. That's every reason why I should. This man came between me and the woman I love. Everything I've worked for, the hard grinding years in medical school, the scraping and scrimping for books, the going hungry for implements, the dream I had shattered in a matter of minutes by this man. There's little chance that I can save him. They will say I had every reason to let him die. My career as well as my life will be wrecked forever.
You've got to save him.
What?
Yes, I know what you're thinking. I don't blame you. But you're a doctor. You've got to save this man if you can. You must think of only of that. You understand?
Yes.
Seconds are precious. Your patient is ready, Dr. Frisbee.
The gloved hand grips the scalpel and goes with precision to its work, its delicate, life-giving work. Meanwhile, the dawn looks upon other things, and cat creeping through the windows of the Dobie Bank reveals another unconscious form, the inert form of the night watchman sprawled on the floor. Beyond him, kneeling before the somewhat antiquated vault of the country bank, another figure works with swift, deft motions, and suddenly...
That does it. I could have opened this with a can opener. Now for that book. Anything else that's in there?
Yes, the book is there. The fabulously rare copy of The Raven and Other Poems. Once owned by Edgar Allan Poe himself, autographed in his own hand to his tragic wife, Virginia. A book worth $15,000. For the rest, the vault holds stocks and bonds not easily disposed of. Private papers of no interest to anyone but their owners. A quick glance around, and then tucking the book under his coat, the dreamer leaves by the side door. In the swirling, smoky dawn, he pauses, for now comes the question of how to leave Dobie fast. Then to the ears of the dreamer come certain sounds. His eyes narrowed, a thin smile on his lips, the dreamer melts swiftly through the dawn, hugging the backs of the buildings, until he reaches blind George Griswold's smithy. Within the forge glows fiery red, its light dancing on the sweat-stained face of the blind blacksmith. Nearby, waiting patiently, a horse. Swift and sure are the movements of the dreamer. A few quick steps and he's behind Griswold. Two blacksmiths, suddenly aware of the danger, turn to meet the full force of the dreamer's blow. With a chuckle of triumph, the dreamer whoops toward the house, but just as he reaches it, a quiet voice inquires,
"Going somewhere, hombre?"
"What the braces?"
"Drop that gun. I'm not aiming to let you use it on me as you did to Willie Kohler."
"Why, you..."
sorry that you asked
for it. My hand! You shot the gun right out of my hand.
And now I'll trouble you to hand over that book. Looks like I've got you with the goods.
Maybe you got me, but you haven't got the goods.
No, no, don't you fool.
There go your goods up in flames, burning to a crisp in the forge. As the saying has it, there goes your money up in smoke.
And so again, tragedy strikes, for the book is forever gone. The book Angus McPhee would give his life for. The book Tom promised to protect from harm. What will happen when Tom faces Angus McPhee and admits his failure? Straight Shooters, there are surprises galore ahead for us in today's episode. But first, well, hello, Jane. You're looking mighty chipper today.
Hello, Mr. Announcer. Anybody would look cheerful if they started off the day with a big ball of steaming hot Ralston. It's full of vitamin B1. It gives you real cowboy energy. Pecos says it gives you pizzazz.
Well, he's right.
I know that whatever I do today, helping train my new pony or working on a dress pattern, I'll be ready for the job. Good old hot Ralston sticks with you all day. No real straight shooter would miss this swell breakfast treat. I like adding fruit like peaches or bananas. It's awfully good with plenty of brown sugar. Whatever way you have it, there's nothing like hot Ralston.
Yes, Jane, no real Tom Mix Ralston straight shooter ever misses a morning with good old hot Ralston. And now, some hours later, in Sheriff Mike Shaw's room at the TM bar.
Those funds, Mike, that's all you get. Dollar guns and land leaks to Betsy. All I've been doing since you passed the crisis is wrestling up one bowl of hot Ralston after another. Well, not that I'm moms, but I got other work to do. Detective work.
Who's others?
Well, I has. I got to find the hombre what with the bulldog heel.
You sled-sided canary brain. Tom's caught the maverick. Stole the book, Eddie.
Well, no, no, on account of from what Mr. Tom told me on the phone, this here dreamer fella ain't the one what stole the book first. The coyote what done that stole the book from Mr. Tom's safe, stole it from this here room later, and then bringed it back. That fella is still on the loose, and I will catch him. When I find a maverick with a bulldog heel, that's him. Well, now, who that, I wonder? Come in.
I found no one on the stairs and took the liberty of coming up. Tom not here yet?
Was he supposed to be Angus?
Aye, he telephoned me, and he said to come up out here, and he'd explain everything. You heard the news, of course. It's all over town by this time.
Good news or bad news?
Well, both. My nephew Willie Kohler is going to live. Dr. Frisbee pulled him through. But the man Tom caught has confessed to everything, implicating Willie in a bank robbery that took place back east.
Oh, that's tough on you, Angus.
Well, I'm not so sure, Mike. Willie must pay for his misdeeds, and I'm glad that he'll do no more interfering between Duck Frisbee and Helen Archer. No, by bad news, I meant the book.
The book? You mean the Raven of Utter Poetics? What Mr. Tom was guarding for you?
Garden it, aye. But not successfully, I'm afraid. You see, before Tom could stop him, this Monicott, the dreamer, well, he threw me book into George Griswold's forge. It's gone. Me book's gone forever.
Thunderation.
Oh, Daddy's too bad, Mr. McPhee. I didn't know about the book being burned up. Oh, here's a Mr. Tom now.
Sorry to keep you waiting, Angus. I've had a lot of things to get straight.
Shucks, Tom, it looks like there's one thing you can't get straight, hmm?
Well, what's that, Mike?
Why, the book that's been the cause of all this mess. Angus says it's gone, burned to a crisp in Griswold's forge.
Oh, that. Well, there's nothing to worry about there, Angus. That copy was a forgery.
What? What are you saying, Mon?
That wasn't your book, Angus. It was one Ralph Middleton forged and put in the place of the original.
That? A Middleton? Well, then, Thunderation, where's the real copy?
Middleton has it. Leastwise, he had it. I reckon it's in the hands of the FBI by this time.
Oh, golly, the goodness, the man, he's the best. You mean that Mr. Middleton is the thief? You mean he's that one with the bulldog heel?
No, great guns, no wash. I've tried to tell you several times that the man with the bulldog heel is, I've been trying to tell you he is, but you wouldn't listen. You know who he is. Afraid I do. I've known since you first found that footprint outside my office window.
Well, then, who is he? Tell me that. Who is he?
You.
Me?
I'm afraid so, Wash. I tried to tell you that you've been following your own trail all along. But,
Oh, woe is me. Looky there. I do wear bulldog heels. That was a feet sprint I made my own self. A fine Shamrock Holmes I is.
Claw, I never had believed of it of Mr. Middleton. He was the one that stole my book.
He was only one of two thieves, Angus.
Two thieves?
That's right. Reckon I better ride this trail from the beginning. You see, Angus, Middleton wanted that book badly. He has a fine collection of Poe's works, and he wanted to complete it. If he couldn't buy the original from you, he was prepared to steal it, and brought the forgery along just for that purpose. The first time he stole it, I nabbed him with the goods at the railroad station, and...
Hold on, Tom. Only the three of us. You, Wash, and me, no combination to your safe. How did Middleton get the book out of the safe?
Well, he didn't. It had already been taken from the safe by someone else. The way I figured it, Middleton found it on a shelf in Angus's store.
On a shelf in his store? How in the world would he have got it there?
I'm coming to that. But let me finish with Middleton. The second time he stole it, he took it from the table there. You were delirious at the time, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
Something, an owl, most likely, disturbed the crows in that tree outside your window, and they set up a mighty ornery racket. It was at that moment that Middleton, who occupied the room next door, slipped in, snapped out the lights, and grabbed that book. The light switch is close to the door that connects the two rooms, so that was simple enough. The following night, he disturbed the crows himself, probably by throwing a rock into the tree. Slipped in here and left the forgery. The minute I examined it, I knew it was a forgery, but I decided to let him get away with it.
Why, Tom?
Because, at that time, I still didn't know who the original thief was. Whoever it was, he somehow knew the combination of my office safe, so I couldn't keep the book there. The vault in the Adobe Bank is none too good, and I would never have trusted the real copy there. On the other hand, it was an absolutely safe in the hands of the man who risked his liberty to secure it. I got in touch with Dex Craven of the FBI and had Middleton shadowed every minute of the time from there on. The question I still had to answer, though, was who was the thief who took the book out of my safe in the first place? Well, at last...
You know who it is?
Reckon I do. It could only be one man.
Well, then bow my legs and call me Bandy. Tell us, Tom. Tell us who it is. In a moment, in one of the strangest and most surprising climaxes you've ever heard, we'll know who the thief is. But first... Say, Jane, I was going to ask you earlier about that good-looking locket you're wearing.
Thank you, Mr. Announcer. It really isn't a locket, though you can wear it like one around your neck on a cord. This is an arrowhead with a compass and a magnifying glass, just like the one that was given Tom Mix for his work in defending our country from its enemies. It is a big help examining clues with the magnifier, and of course in finding your way on a hike with the compass. You can't get lost. One of the special things about it is it glows in the dark like magic. You can signal your friends at night. By covering and uncovering your arrowhead with your hand, you can send coded messages.
Terrific.
This morning, as we were having our hot Ralston at the TM bar, Tom was telling me all about it. Boys can wear the arrowhead like a watch fob on their pocket watch, or wear it hanging from a cord on their belt, or wear it around their neck like I do. Wear it like our soldiers wore dog tags in the war. It's a wonderful item, and Tom told me to let all his straight shooters know that he was going to have a special surprise for them about this glow-in-the-dark arrowhead next Monday.
That's right, Jane. Every straight shooter should tune in for an important announcement next Monday. And now, will they unbow my legs and call me Bandy? Tell us, Tom. Tell us who it is.
As I said, the thief can only be one man, and that man is you, Angus McPhee.
Hey, let me go.
Angus, please.
Better than I kill myself and to stand accused of such a deed by a best friend.
Stop it, I said. Mr. Tom, golly, the goodness, it just can't be. It just can't be that Mr. McPhee is the thief.
Oddly enough, Wash, he is.
What possible answer can they be to this amazing revelation? Why would Angus McPhee steal a book that belonged to him? How did he steal it, and why, after stealing it, did he do such strange things? For instance, leaving it in full view on Tom's desk. We'll know the astounding answer on Monday when we hear the beginning of a new and startling adventure and the unusual climax of The Mystery of the Raven. There goes Tom Mix, America's favorite cowboy, but we'll be back Monday when the Tom Mix Ralston Straight Shooters are on the air. Tom Mix was played by Jim Harmon and written by George Lothar. Sheriff Mike Shaw was played by Frank Knight. Miss McPhee by Lloyd Nesbitt. Jane by Barbara Gratz. This is Frank Knight speaking. Any resemblance to ethnic stereotypes, real or imaginary, is purely historical. This is the Mutual Admiration Society.